Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 472nd edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at Once a Metro and the rest of the SB Nation family of soccer websites. Come on in. The chat room is open. Talk amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my ability. So, the MLS is Back tournament, I believe, currently has been successful. It has been successful in this one way and one way only, that we have so far, through testing by MLS over at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex in the Walt Disney World Resort outside of Orlando, Florida, in Lake Buena Vista. So far in 2 weeks, we had a zero positive case reports that have popped up. This bubble has been a positive. And great on MLS to make sure, that nothing like this will happen inside this type of situation. Great job by the league. Great job by U.S. Soccer as well if they're involved in it. Just a great job overall to have all these players and the majority of the 26 teams, obviously not FC Dallas and not Nashville. It's a shame they're not in it. But all I can say is that MLS has done a brilliant job of handling probably the most difficult thing you can think of when it comes to this situation. First of all, let me just say this. I'm very proud of everyone here in the Northeast, the New York State, New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, majority of Pennsylvania. We know Philadelphia still has some issues going on right now, but still, though, what we have seen here in the Northeast has been a wonderful thing, that not only the curve has gone down, there are no new cases of deaths going on with this pandemic. Until there's new cases popping up, new reports of deaths popping up, we will have to wait and see what the situation will be. But for now, it has been a wonderful job by Commissioner Don Garber to not only calm down the pandemic in this bubble, but adjusting to the loss of both FC Dallas and Nashville SC, sadly not able to compete in these games. We have seen some amazing moments, amazing goals. We've seen some pretty good moments with Columbus LAFC, what DC United did against Toronto FC. We've seen some question marks when it comes to, I'll go out and say it, Atlanta United. I will have Jason Longshore on from 92.9 FM, the game alone, a little bit later. But still, though, we are seeing some either surprising, positive, or negative results in this tournament. And we're seeing some players that are probably finally starting to come into their own, like Chris Mueller from Orlando City. He's been on fire. Completely on fire during this tournament, getting those two goals against New York City FC. And New York City FC, finally, 5 matches in league play, not counting the CONCACAF Champions League, mind you. Not counting the CONCACAF Champions League. 5 matches in. And they finally, not only they score their second goal in this tournament and second in league play, finally they get their first win of the year, and we don't know if this is going to be enough for them to get through. Because there are plenty more teams out there that will probably gain some form of advantage. We'll have to wait and see. But I'm telling you right now, guys, this has been an unbelievable set of circumstances that the league has done a great job. And once again, to Commissioner Don Garber, we have to be fair, folks. We have to be fair. I know some of you don't like him. There's some decisions I scratch my head on too. But the truth is, what Commissioner Don Garber has done here has been unbelievable. He has done a tremendous job of making sure that these players do not have an issue when it comes to this pandemic. It has not affected the games. Bit of a question mark at the time between DC United and Toronto FC, but they were able to get through it. There was a negative, they weren't sure it was a positive result, but then they tested again. It was negative. Suspended match will be played the next morning. And we had a great 2-2 draw between both Toronto FC and DC United. So all you can say is, right now, things are going well. And let me just say this. I was a little skeptic myself. I didn't want to say anything because, too many people have been blurting out their opinions on Twitter. They've been basically jumping the gun, not allowing this tournament to truly get off the ground. Why even bother? What's going on? Why are you doing this? There's a pandemic. We shouldn't even have this tournament. We should just cancel the season. And, if that was going to be the case, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have liked it. Personally, I felt it would have been terrible, but I would have understood it. But thankfully, that will not happen. That situation will not happen. And so far, it's been a very exciting tournament. It's been a lot of fun. And all I can say is that these guys, are playing very well. They're doing very well. And just grateful that they're able to compete without any hiccups. I know some of you are not happy about the crowd noise being pumped in by Fox Sports 1. ESPN has basically left it alone. But the truth is that they felt, Fox Sports felt, that they had to do it. And unfortunately, there it is. It had to be done. And all you can say is that, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? I don't know. They want people to have a feeling of normalcy of some sort. But all it really means is that you're not going to get the actual sounds of these players doing what they do, hearing what they're saying, hearing how they are doing. And as of right now, I don't have a problem with it. You just have to ignore it and just go along with the match. Just go and enjoy yourselves. Don't worry about, in your mind, the distraction of the crowd noise being pumped in by Fox Sports 1. Just ignore it. Let it go. Have some fun. Take it easy. Don't worry about it. I mean, that's the least of your problems. just be happy that the game is back. The game is back here in the United States. MLS is competing. Right now, currently, we got Philadelphia Union taking on Orlando City as the host. The first match, the first club eliminated in this MLS is back tournament is Inter Miami. They lost 1-0 to New York City FC, their first win in five matches, their second goal scored in five matches in league play. I don't know if that's going to turn things around, but I'll tell you right now. New York City FC and Ronny Dallaia, he's got a lot of things to start redoing and thinking. Seeing right now, Oscar Pereja with Orlando City, you know, he's done a great job with the talent he's been able to compete with. It's absolutely wonderful to see a guy like Oscar Pereja, who took his time and took his chances in Mexico with Club Tijuana, and I guess it just didn't work out, so he comes back to MLS, and you know what? MLS wanted him. Orlando City wanted him, and here he is, doing a fantastic job with this young team, with Nani leading the way. So we're going to see a lot of fun here with Orlando City. And you know what? It's a good thing Greg Berhalter is down at Disney World. It's a good thing he is seeing the talent in front of him. And it's also a good thing that he's seeing Chris Muller performing at this high level. Because now you can get a sense of who you're going to implement into your future rosters and training camps for the U.S. men's national team. Yes, you still want Gio Reyna. You still want Josh Sargent, Timothy Weah. You still want Christian Pulisic. But if you can imagine in the midfield or, you know, up top, having Christian Pulisic feeding the ball to Chris Mueller, you have probably a good upgrade in the attack. We all need to see what Tyler Adams can do as well with this national team that's been out for so long due to injury. World Cup qualifying, of course, on hold at the moment. We still need to see a draw through UEFA. And we need, and there's going to be a restructuring of the qualifying process, no doubt about it. You probably heard some rumors going around. I will not confirm these rumors. But as of right now, things are going to change up. Things are going to probably change up, and that means probably permanently for this qualifying cycle and forever that the hex is gone. But I will say this. Once again, as the MLS is back tournament still goes on strongly here, Commissioner Don Garber made sure that all of these precautions were going to be made. And as of right now, in 2 weeks, zero cases. Glee, as I try not to mix politics with sports, but, you know, I've been watching this whole situation with the masks. Put on masks. Don't put on masks. I refuse to put on masks. Please put on your mask. All this, all that. Folks, I'm not trying to be politically correct here. I'm not trying to be politically, you know, against the situation or for the situation. I'm saying this as a practical person and a person who cares about life. Please wear your masks. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I completely understand your concerns and you want to be done with this already. And so do I. So do I. But until there is a real cure, a real vaccine, a real anything and everything, we still have to remain strong and vigilant. We must put on our masks. So until it's completely over with, please wear your masks in public. be strong and be safe out there. Great show for you tonight. We're going to have on Jason Longshore to talk about Atlanta United in these first two games. But first, we're going to have this gentleman on who I haven't had on in a very long time since this pandemic began. And I miss him already, but still, though, he's here now. The one and only Boston Brazzle, Cincinnati Soccer Talk, Yap Stam, two matches in, the new manager of FC Cincinnati. Boston, good evening, and how are you?
Good evening. I'm doing well. Hey, just to reiterate your mask thing, if we in Cincinnati can wear bags over our heads for most of the games last year, you can wear a mask.
You must be talking about the Bengal seasons.
you can say that about almost any of them. Reds, Bengals.
Oh, no, that can't happen. Not the Reds, not them.
No, I'm doing good down here in Cincinnati. Just watching soccer on TV, staying safe like everybody else, I think.
Absolutely, and that's the best thing to do right now. I have to ask this question because, you know, ever since FC Cincinnati began their existence, not too long ago, obviously, in USL, this club has had a revolving door with head coaches. John Harkes, and it's in your inaugural season, then all of a sudden gone. Alan Koch, amazing run into the U.S. Open Cup back in 2018, and then after the opening couple of matches in MLS in 2019, gone. You had a new head coach to begin the season, and a little bit of circumstances kind of went against him. Gone. Now you have a man in Yap Stam, played in the Premier League, a very tough Dutch center back, three-time Premier League champion, and even though two matches in, I'm not going to say there's hope here or whatever, or maybe he's going to be the savior, but the truth is, you know, what are the bets of him remaining as head coach past a year?
I forget you followed us in the USL era. Sometimes I get on an MLS show like this, and they have no idea we had John Harkes as a coach. So props to your longevity of Cincinnati history there. No, it's been a revolving door. You're 100% correct. We went through quite a few. I think they finally thought they had their guy in Ron Jans. And Ron ended up closing out last season fairly strong, considering how terribly the middle and beginning of that season went. And then, of course, there's an incident in preseason where he is sent packing, and then they go ahead and they bring in Yop. We don't know is the correct answer. He is tied with Ron Jans now for the amount of wins, and if he gets one more, he'll actually be tied for the third most wins for an FC Cincinnati. But two games in, it's tough to tell. I will tell you something I liked was that losing 4-0 to the Crew, getting just blasted. Yop's not a guy who is going to just say stuff so the fans like him. He's pretty honest. He's pretty straightforward. And so when they asked him why he played like he did versus Atlanta, and he goes, "I just don't have the team to do what I want yet." It's pretty.
That's right.
Bold.
Listen, I'll be honest with you. That's what I like about some of these coaches from Europe. They're honest. They're very, very honest. I mean, look, I give Yop Stam complete credit for coming out and telling you guys, "I don't have the players to do what I want to do yet." And you know what? That's the one thing I loved about that game against Atlanta United. He just was like, "You know what? I don't have the proper ingredients to do what I want to do originally, so I'm just going to throw some people out there and just let them do what they got to do." And surprisingly, you come away, or FC Cincinnati comes out with a 1-0 victory over Atlanta United. That, in my opinion, speaks very loudly about the type of manager that Yap Stam is. I mean, to me, it's like Bruce Arena. Okay, Bruce Arena didn't have the players last year when he became head coach and general manager of and sporting director of the club. Yet, you know, he went to battle with the pieces he's had to work with, and just enough because this is what Bruce does. You don't have the proper ingredients to bake a cake. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to improvise. I'm going to do something different. But I'm going to give you inspiration. I'm going to give you hope. And I'm going to give you, a little rah-rah behind this. You understand what I'm saying? Yap's Dom, I think, is giving them, encouragement. And I think at times even a tactical manager has to give encouragement to whatever is not working to try and make something work out of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest hindrances to FC Cincinnati's MLS launch is really not only with this revolving door of coaches, which makes things harder with what you want to do on the field, but it also every single coach is bringing in their own players. You know, it took a little bit for Ron Jans to get rid of the system Allen was running with the players Allen brought in, and then as soon as he gets an offseason to do that, he's gone. And now Yop inherits all those players. And so you can look at Cincinnati and say, well, whew, there's a huge problem right there, unless you just happen to get a coach that likes all the players the previous guy brought in, that likes the same system the previous coach brought in. I think that's why you see them sticking with the Dutch manager this round, is to try to find some kind of way to work with what's here. You know, obviously they weren't counting on a pandemic, so they thought there was going to be a full season here with all of these players built for a 3-4-3. Yop did come out versus Atlanta and shift that. I believe we saw, more of a three-man back line with a five-man midfield, and so he kind of did shift that, and then later in the game after Atlanta got red-carded, he turned it into like a modified 3-3-4, so it was kind of cool to see Stom already kind of making it his own. FC Cincinnati was not supposed to run anything besides the 3-4-3, so that Atlanta game was already a shift.
It really was, but I have to say, I think that victory keeps Cincinnati alive, obviously. You're tied right now on points with the Red Bulls, even though you're in third place. With you still got a heck of a goal difference to climb out of, -3 to the Red Bulls, -1. So, no, I'm not digging my elbow into the side. I promise this is a legitimate conversation, Boston. No puns intended, I promise.
Yeah, Miami didn't do either of us any favors this morning, that's for sure. I think Miami tie this morning would have really helped our group out as far as a third place lot. So,
well, I mean, you never know. I mean, there could be miracles somewhere down the road. We've seen some crazy results, especially San Jose coming back, being down by, 3-1 and coming back to win 4-3 against Vancouver. That was an unbelievable setup.
Yeah, I know you're right, and just to be safe, I think everybody in FC Cincinnati land would appreciate it if you use your connections, talk to the Red Bulls. We just agree to tie. We both advance. Do you think you can make that happen?
I don't know if I have that much pull going on over there, but I will give it my best just for you. Just for you. You know I only help you out with all this sort of thing. You know, the Weigels, not forget it. I'm just only joking about those guys. They're good. but anyway, I'll try and do my best. I think it's going to be ESP instead of ESPN. So I will do my diligence to subliminal messaging all the way down to Disney World. I just have to find Tinkerbell, and I just gotta need some more pixie dust on this. So we'll find out. But overall, though, if I can just – but overall, when do you think this whole thing is going to stop? I mean, what is it about Yop Stom so far that you've liked, even though it's only been two matches? What have you liked about him so far out there?
So far, he's probably the first manager I've seen to tactically adjust as fast as he has. Alan Koch, as great as he was in the USL, once we moved to MLS, we had a problem making game decisions, like once you're down a goal, once you hit that halftime mark, trying to find another way to do things with the players you have available was difficult. I do think Ron Jans would have been a decent coach had he not also said racist things. So unfortunately for FC Cincinnati, he happened to to say those things, and you know, there's just no way to continue with a coach, no matter how good he is, once something like that's happened. So Yop is, I think, if you know, the fans' biggest hope. But honestly, even if the season continues after this tournament, and you know, COVID slows down, all that stuff, and Yop doesn't have a great season, I think the number one thing FC Cincinnati can do is just bring him back, because the club needs some kind of consistency.
No, I agree with you there. I mean, look at this. His playing resume just speaks for itself. FC Zwolle, SC Camber. I think I pronounced that correctly. Hang on 1 second. Let me take a quick look here. SC Camber. I was correct. Okay. I'm shocked. Willem. Mm-hmm. Over in the Netherlands, PSV Eindhoven. Then he left to England for Manchester United, then Lazio, AC Milan, and then Ajax back in the Netherlands to finish up his career for at least a season or two. So this is amazing. This is amazing what he has done. And he's also managed some teams here in Zwolle, in the Netherlands, and I guess Ajax's second team, Reading United in England, back to Zwolle, and then Feyenoord, and now with FC Cincinnati. So, you know, you're getting a guy who's, you can't say he's been around the block. At least he's been around many blocks in Europe, that's for sure, as a player and a coach, but you know, new adventure for him coming to MLS, new adventure for you guys and all those players. So it's going to be a lot of interesting moments there. And you know, as I said, you're getting a guy who has a great reputation as being not only a tough-nosed center back club-wise and for the Dutch national team, but a pretty good manager, it looks like, as well.
Yeah, I think his career obviously speaks for itself. FC Cincinnati has this thing where they go out and find a coach that no one saw coming to Major League Soccer, and then they hire that guy. So I think it is an interesting move. There were several off-season there's a lot of, you know, things to watch. There were several off-season rumors. A possible grab at Greg Berhalter actually was rumored. Tab Ramos was rumored at one point before he was picked up. So it's just all kinds of – a lot of us are watching to see, you know, there are things to compare Jop's record here to this year. So if you want to follow that, that's probably a good gauge to follow. Obviously, it'll be interesting. Him having his season, however it turns out here in the tournament, and then his offseason and what kind of moves he makes. Very interesting, I think, for even non-Cincinnati fans to follow, just to see how this rebuild takes place. I think Twellman said it best. He said, FC Cincinnati is a club that's hit the reset button 3 times, and that's just like one or two too many.
Very true. Very, very true. You got to stay strong. You got to stay true to the coaches that you have, and you cannot have a turnstile of coaching entrances and exits, or else you're never going to get off the ground. You're never going to be competitive, and you'll be considered a laughingstock in the league, and that's the one thing we don't want to see FC Cincinnati becoming, even though it sounds like they're becoming it right now. But hopefully they let Stom just, let him do whatever he's got to do this year, and then let him bring in the players he needs to bring over for 2021. Real quick, how's the Westside Stadium looking so far in Cincinnati? And can you give us an update on that if it's possible?
The steel is up, all of it. They had a signing ceremony for the last steel beam, which was put in place. So now you're talking about roofs and walls and interior. And it is on pace to be ready for next season. So if any of your listeners want to see what it looks like 100% steel completed, it's on there. You can usually find some kind of an update at West End Stadium Twitter account.
Great. Just make sure Subs doesn't pick up anything to do with tools, okay? I don't want him to start hammering nails, you know, screwing in screws, riveting the big nuts and bolts. I want him to just produce your Cincinnati soccer show, and that's it. If I see a photo of him doing this, I'm yelling foul, okay? I'll give him the red card.
It'll just be the visitor section. Don't worry.
All right. Well, listen, you have a good night. Thank you very much for coming on once again, and I will talk to you soon. Enjoy your evening.
All right, you too.
All right, thanks a lot. Boston Brazel, FC Cincinnati, Cincinnati Soccer Talk, talking about FC Cincinnati and Jaap Stam as we move forward here and talk about some big moments once again. And I don't know if it's a big moment or not, but right now it's a questionable moment. And all I can say is that for team, it's a situation where a lot of question marks that came out of nowhere. A lot of question marks that no one would expect. And that is, of course, the situation Atlanta United is in. They are 0-2 in the MLS's back tournament, and they have done nothing since the start of the year. And that's a big concern, ladies and gentlemen. That's a big concern because anyone knows, and everyone knows, how Atlanta United loves to be a powerhouse in MLS. They love to be a powerhouse. They want to be the top club in MLS. They want to be the one that always wins titles and wins championships. So it's a situation once again, Atlanta United, there's a problem. And we just got to wait and see if they're going to fix this problem, if it's possible. And we're just waiting for Jason Longshore to come on from 92.9 FM The Game as we are trying to get him on, trying to contact him to come on the show. He said he would be able to be available tonight at 8:30. So we're just going to have to wait and see when he does come on and hopefully talk about Atlanta United because we all know the situation that they're in. Yosef Martinez is done with the ACL injury that he suffered at Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee, against Nashville SC's opening match. So, question mark is Yosef Martinez the only emotional player that Atlanta United feeds on? I don't know. I really don't know. It's a situation where you have to question it. And all you can do is just go out and wonder what is the situation? What is going on? All you can do is just wonder, you know, you have Pity Martinez. Maybe he's not acclimated enough to MLS. Ezequiel Barco, does he need to do more than normal? I mean, what does Atlanta United need to do to wake up and go out there and play their brand of soccer, their brand of football? I don't know. But all I can say is that at the moment, there's a problem with Atlanta United, and that problem is going to be very, very difficult if they're going to bury themselves in the standings of the Eastern Conference? So all I can say is that for Atlanta, they got to fix something, and they need to fix it real quick or else there'll be problems. So we'll have to wait and see what the situation is and what it will be. All I can say is this. Atlanta United are having issues going forward right now, and maybe this pandemic threw them off, or maybe it's an injury-related situation that not doing good, and it needs to be fixed. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. That's all that needs to be said. And there's nothing more you can say or do. And we're just going to move on forward here. We'll wait for Jason Longshore to give a call whenever he's ready. Looks like we're having some phone issues as I'm trying to give him a phone call. Having phone issues right now. It looks like it's not going through. So let's just move forward about the Red Bulls and their 2-0 loss to 2-0 loss that really wasn't good. And they got to do better against Cincinnati. But you can definitely say the midfield just wasn't clicking in this one. You can definitely say that the back line tried their best. They did try to press, but it just wasn't good enough. Possibly just a tough situation once again. Columbus, look, you got to give Columbus credit. They're a very good team. You got Darlington Nagbe. But I will say this, while that first goal was amazing, and unfortunately the defensive midfield, like Sean Davis and Christian Casares Jr., just did not step up properly, prevent that throw-in from being part of the attack, all you can really say is that Pedro Santos burns the Red Bulls once again. This probably was going to be a 1-0 defeat, but then again, when you got Amrotar trying to clear a ball and then you have former Red Bull Derek Etienne Jr. blocking the clearance and going down and attacking, that's unfortunate right there, and that's unfortunate for the Red Bulls. So basically, 5 goals scored, 5 goals given up, 7 points in 4 games. That's not a bad start. And if you really think about it, in all honesty, it's better to have the loss now than somewhere down the line. Red Bulls are in excellent position. They're in excellent shape at the moment. They can attempt to go out there and, in my opinion, they're able to find a way to defeat Cincinnati and just go out and just be themselves. Caleb Porter has a damn good team on his hands. Zelarayan is a real deal. We all know what Jossi Zardes can do. We all know what Pedro Santos can do. We all know what this Columbus Crew team is all about. So they're probably going to win the group regardless, and then we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen against Atlanta United when it comes into this whole situation. But once again, it's a situation where for the New York Red Bulls, they just have to get a result. A win permanently puts them into second place. A draw will permanently put them into second place. Any type of result, a point, 3 points, it doesn't matter. They can advance into the next round, into the round of 16. And whoever their opponents will be in Group F, if they do take second place, we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen there. But other than that, the Red Bulls are still in excellent shape. They are in great shape to perform. And it's just a situation, once again, where they just got to find a way to play a lot better, play a lot smarter. And right now, you know, this will be probably a different Cincinnati team with Yap Stam as manager. But still, though, they got to be careful. They got to play their style. And they have to go in there and they have to take out their next opponents. So just have to wait and see what the situation will be. And once again, it's a situation where for the Red Bulls, they just have to go out there and play strong. But once again, for Atlanta United, this is going to be a very difficult situation at the moment. Obviously, you would like to think that Josef Martínez is not the emotional leader that he goes out and does something crazy. At the same time, goes out and, you know, is the only one that's the offensive cog. Now, let's see if we do have our guest on, who I originally planned for at 8:30. And I believe it is Mr. Jason Longshore from 92.9 FM The Game, analyst for Atlanta United radio broadcasts. Jay?
Hello. How are you?
Very good. Another alarm issue?
Yeah, something like that.
Ah! You need a new alarm clock, man. Come on.
I do. I need less calls is what I need. I'm sorry. My fault.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. I knew, like, I'm ringing. He's going to be here. I know he is, and it has to be. I know. Listen, I will – this time you're off the hook. We'll blame it on the COVID. It's okay.
There we go. I think we blame everything on that, right?
That's right. Listen, coronavirus gets blamed for everything. We'll add on to the blame to the coronavirus. There you
go.
Sounds
good to me.
Hey, that's fine by me too. So you and Mike, I mean, obviously you're not in Orlando to call these games for Atlanta United. Are you doing it through a studio? Are you watching these games and doing it through a studio on 92.9 FM The Game?
Yeah, that's what we've been working on is we call the games from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, actually, because we're doing a lot of stuff on Atlanta United social media channels. We're doing pre- and post-game shows there. So it's a weird experience to be at our home venue to call these games, but
mm-hmm.
you know, watching it on a monitor like everybody else. It's different. It's strange. I mean, we've called games from monitors before. It's never the ideal, but – you know, it's just trying to capture the emotion of the match without feeling it the same way. And look, it's been weird to capture the emotion of these matches from an Atlanta perspective.
Oh, I bet it has been. You know, just to tell you, the union is allowing their PA announcer to go into Subaru Park and just calling goals and calling, you know, cards and substitutions, doing it from Subaru Park. And I'm like, you know what? It's a little weird, but I like it. I think the truth is this. You want the vanilla. That's great. But the truth is this, Jay, you want the Carvel machine, don't you?
We don't have the Carvel machine. We asked, we begged. There could have been some pleading. No, we don't have that for these events. We blame it on the COVID like everything else.
Oh my God. I am protesting right now. Longshore and Conti need their Carvel. This is wrong.
Essential.
Come on, Arthur. Arthur, this is your friend from New York. Come on. They deserve their Carvel.
That might
I'm
take more staffing
right
at the stadium,
now.
And it's a small crew right now. So
no,
I get
no,
it.
I know,
it's all good.
All right. Then it's next year. I'll treat you to a real Carvel ice cream shop here in the Northeast when you come up.
Next game, we get to come up that way. I can't wait.
That's right. So listen, what's going on with Atlanta? I mean, two matches, no goals scored. Let's be honest, it could have been 5-0 Red Bulls in the first match, if not for Brad Guzan. You lose two players on straight red cards, one of them on through VAR, and you lose 1-0 to basically a very poor FC Cincinnati side. What's happening? Why are they this
bad? I'll push back on that about Red Bulls because Red Bulls had four shots on target. Brad made a couple of big saves in that match. Game changes with the early goal. You know, it changes with the early goal, and it makes things more comfortable for the Red Bulls to not even press in the same way that we're always accustomed to seeing. And that's been the number one thing that I've noticed about Chris Armas's group this season is that they're picking their more than – we've typically seen, and I think that's a really smart thing for Armas and for the Brain Trust to be doing in New York, because you can't play that intense of a press in a 34-game season with the length of the season, with the travel, with everything that factors into MLS. You see the team burned out late. I think they're trying to find a way to minimize that. That's the prime example of how you can do it. You get an early goal, you can be smart and press when the time calls for it, but not run yourself into the ground. Atlanta still created 10 chances in that match, and a couple shots on goal that didn't happen that should have. Manuel Castro had a couple of great opportunities that he flubbed, and that's what hurt Atlanta, and that's been the number one thing in this tournament. You know, you've given up two goals in two games. That's okay. That you should be getting results with that. You're not. You have zero goals to show for it, and that's the number one thing. That is it. The game against Cincinnati, you talk about goals changing games, and especially when they come from, red cards do too. And it was two yellows to Jake Mulroney that saw him sent off in the 26th minute. And these 9 a.m. games are difficult for everybody involved. They become exponentially difficult, more difficult, if you have a red card early. And Atlanta ran out of gas as the day went on. The rest of the first half, I was shocked, and I think Frank DeBoer, you know, kind of alluded to it in his post-game commentary. You know, he left Pity Martinez and Ezequiel Barco on after that red card, subbed Adam John, who hadn't started the previous match, and he said that he thought that the way the match would play out, that Pity and Barco would have 1v1 opportunities against Cincinnati, and that would be Atlanta's best chance to create opportunities. After the red, Cincinnati didn't expand. I mean, they sat back far deeper than they did against Columbus in game one. They sat back after the red. They continued to sit back. Atlanta was the better team in the first half, had a penalty washed off by VAR that I don't like the way that was handled at all, because it goes against what Howard Webb said would be done with offside decisions in MLS that were into that clear and obvious question mark scenario. But Atlanta wasn't good enough in front of goal. They didn't create enough chances. They didn't finish the chances that they created in these two games, and you have no goals to show for it. Giving up two, you should have a result somewhere along the line. You don't, because you can't find the back of the net right now.
I don't want to throw this at you, but I guess I'm going to have to. I mean,
go ahead.
Okay, I will. Josef Martinez. I mean, look, we got to be honest about it. I mean, look, I mean, obviously he's not the only designated player on this team, but is he the emotional designated player that everyone feeds off of? I mean, you like to think Barco should be coming into his own. You'd like to think Pity Martinez should be coming into his own. Is Josef that big cog that they're missing because of the season-ending injury?
It hurts. Might not be season-ending. We'll have to wait and see. Hasn't been put on a season-ending injury list yet, and the longer the season goes, the more possibility you could see him. But he's the heart and soul of this team, and it's been harder to replace him than maybe anyone considered because of that, because of the intangible side of it. But right now, I think it's just been figuring out how to replace him. And, you know, you look at the way Atlanta United prepared for this tournament. They were able to get back to training earlier than most teams, and that helps. And I think it's helped with fitness. They've looked pretty sharp. I mean, the 9 a.m. games take it out of everybody. I don't think it took it out of Atlanta more than any other team that we've seen. Playing with 10 probably hurt you more than anything there. But you didn't play any games, and that was the hardest thing about that time, training without playing preseason matches and then coming into play. The transitions where Red Bulls thrive, Atlanta struggled early, Red Bulls punished you for it. But sharpness and figuring out in game action, is this team best with Adam John up top? Is it best with Pitti Martinez as a false nine? Is it best with Emmanuel Castro up top? Is it best with something else? And without playing those games, you're taking some guesses. First game, it was Pitti Martinez, Mateo Sosetu, and Emmanuel Castro, with Ezequiel Barco not 90 minutes fit after taking a knock in training. Struggled. When Barco came on, it got better. When Adam John came on at the end, I thought it looked its best. Started John in game two, and then you had the red card, and you had to change everything and throw it out. So I don't know if we really have an answer to the question yet, but it's proving to be harder than we thought it would be. Maybe some of that's just, you know, like we're blaming everything on COVID. Maybe some of it is just because you didn't get to play any games leading into this to test Castro and test Josetu and test John and see what worked best and where the chemistry was best. It's off right now and have to find it before tomorrow night quickly.
No, I agree there. And I mean, Columbus has been red hot since this whole thing got started. I mean, when you put four big time goals, I mean, some of these set pieces were unbelievable from the crew. I mean, Zelarayan is just an amazing player that Columbus picked up.
Agree.
We all know Zardes is Zardes. That's not a big deal. Jonas Mokhtar has been unbelievable coming off the bench so far. I mean, we're seeing, you know, who knows? I mean, we could see Columbus versus Atlanta when we get back to our regular stadiums. Like, I mean, that could be like the best freaking setup that MLS has never thought would happen.
Columbus was a team that I had high hopes on seeing, but I still had some questions. So far, so good. Everything is looking really good for them at this point. They've got a lot of depth on the outside in the back, and that's had to come into fruition a little bit with Valenzuela not featuring yet. Now you have Wormhoor out for a while, 4 to 6 months after an ankle injury suffered in game one. So you're relying on Josh Williams. You're relying on Abubakar Keita. You've got depth there. You don't really have anybody beyond Nagby and Artur in the holding midfield, at least we thought, until you see Sebastian Berhalter come in and play really well in 57 minutes against the Red Bulls. Aiden Morris has played in this tournament. There's some spots where it could be a little thin. There's some spots where you wonder how this team will handle some adversity. But so far, in my mind, the best two teams in this tournament have been Columbus and Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you there. Philadelphia right now 0-0 with Orlando City in this one. And obviously this is for the battle of the top spot in their group. But I'll tell you right now, Philadelphia with Jim Curtin, I think he's finally gotten the players that he wants to compete. And they've been pretty darn good so far, starting from the middle of last year into now. So Jim Curtin's doing a really good job.
I think Jim Curtin,
yeah,
and maybe it's one of the stories of American soccer that's not getting enough talk right now. The development of Jim Curtin as a manager is one of the greatest success stories in the league right now.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I mean, you know, he gets thrown into that position as becoming a manager. You know, he had to work with, of course, the players that he had to inherit of this club, and look what he's done now. I mean, Aronson has been an unbelievable. I mean, we all know about Andre Blake, but he's really had a very damn good back line in front of him. Gattis has been fantastic. Mark McKenzie's been fantastic. I thought losing Keegan Rosenberry was a big mistake, but it's proven that it hasn't. And that Norwegian with that huge strike at LAFC was just unreal before the whole situation started to break out.
They in my mind, are right there with Columbus. Everybody's talked about Columbus. Maybe it's been a little bit higher profile with their performances in this tournament. But Philadelphia, with what happened last year with them, they got better in this offseason, and I think Jim Curtin's continued to get better as a manager. They're the team that I feel like might be built for the long haul a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree with you there. We'll have to wait and see, though, what happens. And plus, we have to wait for a brand new schedule to come out, and I'm assuming it'll probably just be East versus East and West versus West. There won't be any cross-traveling this year because of the whole situation, because you have to scrap the original schedule. So we'll have to wait and see what's going on. But other than that, what are you and Mike doing now? I mean, besides the broadcast, I mean, any more enhancements for your broadcasting situation with Atlanta United and 92.9 FM The Game? How's that relationship been going for a long time now with you guys?
It's been great, and we get a ton of support from the radio station, and the numbers have backed it up. The ratings have been very good for the station as a whole. The ratings have been good for the matches. You know, where there's time to fill, like, ahead of a broadcast, there's no problem with filling it with soccer conversation, and that spreads to all of the shows and all the day parts. You know, soccer in Atlanta is just part of the sports conversation. I mean, you'll have the Daily Drive show with Dukes and Bell in the afternoon, and you'll have a segment talking about Matt Ryan at quarterback. You'll have a segment talking about the Braves pitching rotation, and you'll have a segment talking about Atlanta United and who should be playing up top. It's just part of that conversation. And, you know, it's great to see more radio come into the league. I think radio is an essential part of connecting to your local audience, your local fan base. Philadelphia has added radio this season. It's been great to see them on board, and it's an essential part of growing the league. I think a part that can get overlooked, but, you know, Mike and I have found this, that, you know, it feels like we have a very personal connection with our listeners. Via social media, it's easy for them to send questions. We include that as part of the broadcast. We include it in pregame and postgame, and we try to make them feel like, you know, they're with us when we're calling the game, that it is, you know, that house party kind of feel of calling the game, and we're all talking about it. It's just they can hear us talking about it, and then they get to ask questions afterwards. So it's been very cool to see, and we couldn't do it without the team supporting us and doing everything it takes to do these broadcasts from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but also the radio station taking the chance and committing the time to it. I mean, we have an hour of pregame tomorrow, starting at 7 o'clock, game at 8. We have an hour of postgame after the match. We're doing also social media things for the club itself, and it's a busy time in that regard. It's busy to knock everything out and make it look good, and make it sound good, but it's all worth it when you hear that people are consuming it and enjoying it.
That's great, and I'm very happy for you guys and the success you've had at Atlanta since the club came into existence a couple of years ago. So all I can really say is, Jay, that you know, I'm happy for you and Mike. I'm happy for the radio station. I'm happy for the club, you know, without, and I agree, we need terrestrial radio stations to come in big time and to fill in huge, because as much as I love to talk about the game and having this, you know, once a week, maybe two or three times a week, depending on the schedule and what's being brought up and discussed, you know, we need regular radio to really come up big and be out there. But listen, thanks again. Good luck tomorrow night. Enjoy your broadcast tomorrow night, and I'll talk to you soon, all right?
I'll use some Carvel.
That's right. I will.
I owe you next time I see you. I got the Carvel. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for coming on again, Jay. Take it easy. All right. Jason Longshore, 92.9 FM The Game, radio analyst for Atlanta United, talking about the Atlanta United situation. And I also want to thank Boston Brazel from Cincinnati Soccer Talk to coming on the show. This is Daniel Feuerstein for the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Talk to you next Monday. Bye-bye. Take care. So long. Bye-bye for now.